to introduce Matt Grubesich from the Texas Tree Foundation to talk more about how they partnered with the city of Dallas to get more trees on the ground.
All right, thank you. Welcome. Let me know when you're seeing what's on my screen.
We see it.
You're out there? Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me on this call. It sounds to me, they told me that a lot of municipality public leaders, decision makers are the key audience for this goal, and that's great because those are the people that I'm always trying to get in front of. I'm with the Texas Trees Foundation. My name is Matt Grubesich. I'm the program coordinator and urban forester. And we are a nonprofit tree planting location that covers the 16-county area of north central Texas for Dallas-Fort Worth. And if there's a place that needs help with heat island reduction, it's definitely Dallas-Fort Worth. We like our cars down here, and we have lots of pavement to help move them around. And we're not typically an area that is known for trees. This is typically pasture land around here, but we do a heck of a job actually trying to plant trees into these areas. And we had one of our hottest summers on record just last summer, where they're estimating that we lost about 500 million trees statewide. So we have some catch up to do after last year. We work with a variety of partners. We do a lot of programs to be able to get trees in the ground. And what I like to say is I help communities make trees their civil servant. We got to get away from just plopping trees in the ground for the sake of plopping trees in the ground, and we need to start making trees work for us. How we kind of got started, how we got involved in this, and where we got more thinking that we had to be more strategic in how we just planted trees came from a study that was done in a partnership with the EPA and the City of Dallas back in the early 2000s through the Dallas Sustainable Skyline Initiative, which was part of the Sustainable Skyline Initiative through the EPA. And we were one of the first pilot projects that was done to be able to figure out kind of what some of those environmental needs were in the City of Dallas and what we could do about it. And one of the projects that came out of that was a heat island map for the City of Dallas. And what we found is we had a lot of impervious pavement, and we had a lot of hot spots. And so what came out of that report was I don't know, so much shocking to me as it was shocking, I think, to a lot of people, was trees were one of the main tools that was recommended for reducing our heat island effect. Even with they polled city residents, they said that they wanted a change in appearance. They wanted something that was more beautiful, that was more pedestrian friendly, that was cooler in the summer. And some of the recommendations that came out of there was to start identifying new planting locations, target those areas for their hot spots, to start planting trees around them, you know, and then protecting existing canopy. So that's exactly what we did. What we did then is we partnered with a local utility partner down here, and we came up with what we called our roadmap to tree planting and planning. And we said, okay, if we're going to be planting trees, we need to make sure that we're doing this smartly. We're not just planting for the sake of planting. And so we wanted to figure out where there was no trees, where we could plant trees, but more importantly, where was the best place that we could plant these trees. And so using satellite imagery and ArcGIS, we did an urban canopy cover assessment. And what we found out was that the city, believe it or not, had a 30% canopy cover. And that seemed really high. But when you started looking across the city, if I showed you a map of the city, that was all focused into a very small area of the city. Dallas is 375 square miles, and this part of we have a very, very large inland urban forest that runs along the Trinity River, which is the main river that runs through town, and that's where the bulk of our tree canopy was. When you got into the surrounding neighborhoods, that tree canopy averaged closer to 8 to 9%, and so we realized that we really had a problem. Even though it looked good on a large scale, when you actually started to focus down in the individual neighborhoods and individual council districts, our tree canopy cover wasn't all that great. So we knew we needed to start planting trees, and what we found out was that there was 1.8 million potential planting locations within the city. And so that kind of got us geared up to get going. When we looked at all of these different planting locations by size, by if they were available for energy efficiency, so if they were on the north or west side of a single-family residential, socioeconomics, land use type, and one of the important ones was the urban heat island effect. And what you see there is there's just, you know, 893,000 planting locations that fall into our middle heat island range of 120 to 130 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty hot. So what this became for us is it actually became a tool, and we were able to integrate other environmental factors like stream flow data, heat islands. We even partnered with SMU, Department of Engineering down here, where we looked at actual traffic flow patterns. We were able to figure out where in our arterials cars are parked the longest during rush hour. So where are they sitting, producing heat, putting off CO2. And then that, we plugged all that into our model so that what we can then do is we can go in there and start searching all of these planting locations based on what environmental factor we're looking for. So if we're looking for stormwater runoff or if we're looking for heat island mitigation, we can look for those areas and then start to target this. And it's really become a tool that we use on a daily basis. Anytime that somebody calls up or partner calls up to wants to do a tree planting project or we go out to do a tree planting project, we actually use this tool and we pull it up on our GIS system and we search out that area and we look for that area for the best places that we can plant trees out there so that we can mitigate heat island effect. And how this works is there's a couple different ways that you can search the data. One is you can just pull up all the tree planting locations and then pull up the different temperature ranges and look where your tree planting locations are there. Another thing that you can do is you can look down at a closer neighborhood, and actually what you're seeing there is all the red, yellow, and blue is an actual tree planting location based on what their heat island temperature signature is. And one interesting thing that we found out through doing this is for the longest time, the U.S. Forest Service recommendation for your average tree canopy cover for a city is 40%. And what was really interesting was when we got into some of these neighborhoods, you didn't actually see a reverse cooling effect from these neighborhoods and from this tree canopy cover until you hit about 40%. Below 40%, and if you were really below 30%, you saw that reverse heating effect from the heat island emerging itself and going into the surrounding neighborhoods. You didn't get that reverse cooling effect until you got over 40%. So what that told us was, yeah, it's good to plant trees, but we need to plant lots of trees, and we need to plant lots of trees strategically. Obviously, parking lots, as we've already heard today, is a big source of our heat island, and so we kind of wanted to be prepared for that. So we looked at parking lots, and we wanted to say, hey, if we needed to go in and start planting trees in parking lots, how many trees would you need to plant in or around there to start putting some canopy cover in there? And this is kind of just a screenshot of what it is, of how the tool works. And what you do is you can go in and select the temperature range that you want. And then it brings up all your tree planting locations and then highlights them based on the ones that meet your criteria. And if you can then narrow that down to however many trees that you want to plant. And so it's really become a very, very effective tool. And there's a lot of programs out there and a lot of canopy cover studies that have been done out there that when you're done with it, you're like, oh, that's wonderful. Now what do we do with all of this information? And this is one that we've actually been able to use on a day-to-day basis. And the more GIS information we get, the better we're able to make this tool work. For instance, we were able to get overline utility corridors. So now we can put in there, and we've actually eliminated all of the tree planting locations that fell underneath power lines. So those don't even come up as a potential place to plant trees anymore. So the better the GIS information we can get, the more dynamic we're able to make this tool. And what we were able to find is, you know, trees work hard for us, and they also pay us back pretty quickly. And what we found is if we planted just half of those trees and those trees reached 40 years of age, the annual benefits of that were quite extraordinary. And when you start putting those types of dollar values, it makes it really easy to go to our public leaders and be able to say, hey, we need to invest more money into tree planting and into doing it properly. There's a lot of different strategies. If you don't have a program like this yet, you can start to plant trees strategically. One is existing trees are just as important as new trees, and a lot of times maybe more important because larger trees are going to shade a larger area. So looking at tree preservation during development is huge. Mitigating for those trees if you're not preserving them. Looking at different types of development techniques, whether it's low-impact development or not. And what I found is the scientists and the tree people and everybody else is realizing that the trees are beneficial to our urban heat island reduction as well as all the other impacts that they give us. But the developers and the engineers are kind of slow to come up. And what we end up getting is a lot of trees that don't do very well because they're planted in tree coffins or they're planted in downtown areas or they're not maintained correctly. And that's kind of a shame because there's a lot of great development techniques out there, whether it's using structural soils or pervious pavement or civil cells or any host of other options that are out there that we can be planting trees in urban areas and not reducing the amount of places for parking or for people to be moving around. And we can still have large, healthy trees that can abate that heat island. Most cities of any size are going to have some sort of GIS data, so it's very easy to go in there and look at where your parking lots and your sidewalks and your streets are and start to identify those areas so you can start to plant trees. And, of course, planting trees for energy efficiency. If we can reduce the amount of time air conditioners are running out there, it's going to mean less heat put out and less power that's going to have to be provided. So just being smart about how we plant trees and planting them strategically is a huge thing. And what kind of amazes a lot of engineers when I talk to them is that, you know, streets, when I start talking to them, I can talk to them all day long about how trees will reduce the heat in their city. But when I tell them that you plant a tree over their sidewalk or over their street and it's going to extend the lifespan of that pavement for 7 to 12 years, then their eyes pop up. So there's all kinds of other hosts of things that we need to be talking out there and making people aware of for the other benefits of trees that they do for us. So being a nonprofit and doing any program anywhere, successful partnership is going to be the key. We have a very strong relationship with the City of Dallas and both their Office of Environmental Quality, their Parks and Recreation Department, our local state forestry agency, the EPA. And if it wasn't for those local partners, then we wouldn't have been able to get these things done. To address the funding issue, one thing that is kind of tough is this project was actually funded by Oncor, which is a utility power provider. We're deregulated in Dallas, which is a lot different than a lot of different places, so it makes it a little bit harder. But one of our biggest yearly sponsors is a power company down here, TXU Energy. So when you look at the amount of giving that goes on through foundations and through especially corporations that are out there, it's actually less than 12% in terms of their overall giving for corporations. And that's pretty low. And you can't compare trees to a lot of the other things that people give us for education, crime, police, fire. Obviously, those things are always going to take precedent. But what we have to do a better job is saying, hey, we need to be planting trees just like conference calls like this and within your community going back and saying, you know, trees are not only do they pay us back and they're worth money, but they're going to help us reduce our heat island effect. They're going to make our communities healthier. They're going to make them a better place to live. And the more that you can get that message out and the more we can get that message out, that's going to hopefully help with increased funding over time. So nonprofits are a great resource in your community. If you're not currently working with one, I suggest you kind of search one out because we can really be that go-between. We can work in the public sector as well as in the private sector. You know, we can work locally and regionally, which is huge because anytime we're talking about environment and we're talking about the heat island, we're not just looking at one municipality. We've got to be looking at it region-wide. We can look, so that helps us look upstream versus downstream. It helps us connect policy to implementation, just like we did here. The city didn't have the resources to be out and go start planting trees for energy efficiency, but between the partnership with them and the partnership with us, we've put together some really, really strong tree planting programs. So we were able to take those policies and actually implement them out into the field. And we can work with those corporations. We can make corporations really look green. It's good to be green right now. And we want to make sure that there's not greenwashing that's going out there. There's a lot of corporations that are putting money into organizations where their trees aren't going into the neighborhood and into the communities where they are at, and that's something that we need to make sure is taking place. So if A good resource is the Alliance for Community Trees. They're a national organization, and if you go to their website, you can click on where you live, and it'll give you a green nonprofit or a tree planting nonprofit within your community. And there's also a list of other ones here that you can look at, and if one of those is in your area, I recommend you giving them a call, because they really are a great resource, and they are doing a lot of really good things out there, a lot of times without the recognition that they deserve. A lot of times they're the ones that are really getting those trees into the ground and making those trees work for us. So I kind of flew through a lot of that really quickly. I would definitely be happy to answer any questions people have at the end, and please feel free to contact me if you're interested in doing a program like this in your community, or you have further questions on how we implement our various programs. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt, and thanks for those tips on action, on what people can do to get started. One of the things that Matt covered was the analysis they did and also the different types of benefits. And this was not only from Matt's presentation, but also from Brendan's. So in terms of getting a sense of where you stand, we'd like to know which of the benefits that have been mentioned so far are of most interest to you. And so if you can take a moment to check all that apply. And now if we can show the results. And one of the areas that there's most interest in is the energy savings from buildings that can come from not from trees, as Matt pointed out, but also maybe from some of the other mitigation strategies that have been covered, the increased vegetation, cool pavements, and cool roofs. So with that being said, we did hear from both Chula Vista and the Texas Tree Foundation in Dallas that they did partner with their utility to make this happen, and that connection could be a very helpful one. And then there, you see there's a mix of other interest areas.